share something that a young person from here shared with me recently. And I trust it encourages your souls. This is a DCC writing. He says, by the whole state of affairs, for long I have been feeling most of all about myself, and then a lot about the others, that we have taken our Christianity for granted. It has become something we do rather than something we are. It seems like I take the most interest in everything else but the things of God. Work, intellectualism, studies, entertainment is primary. And then comes God. And then when everyone, including the older people in the church, is like that, there is no one to look up to as an example. How can you keep someone accountable if you are not faithful yourself? All of us share about how we had not been faithful to applying the things we learned. Still more faithfulness to the basics of praying, reading the word, dealing with sin. And adults say they had not been faithful either. That we all need to be. Now that is not what a struggling sinner like me needs to hear. I've been thinking about how theology and all the study and knowledge comes to nothing if our lives are not filled with passion and love for Jesus. I would rather know only the basic gospel and love Jesus enough to sacrifice desires for him, then know all the theological ideas they are to know, and be a proud, callous, loud, pharisaical Christian with no real life. When I think about it closely, it has made me come close to saying, I'm not even saved. I think there is time each individual examines their own heart in private to see if Christ is their one passion. So it's encouraging to me that you have started that fundamentals of faith study back to the basics. I would hate it if I thought I was saved and then Christ rejected me at the doors of heaven. Not quite right doctrine, but hope you get my point. Now when I look at, and he gives me a name, this young person, whom he respects at DCC, I see a person who is sinful, but tries to be faithful, and lives with the passion I was talking about. I see the great hunger for the word, and when you hunger truly, there is no problem with having a regular quiet time, is there? And that's the great knowledge of God. That's where theology comes in. Not because you want to be proud and intellectual, but because you desire to know more about the God you love so much. End quote. By Stephen Holford, and I want to quote from him. And I quote from him because he's a great man of God. But he quotes some Puritans. Sometimes we think Puritans are not very given to experiential Christianity. Quoting from chapter 3 of his book called Anointed Expository Preaching. And a study text for this chapter on and the preacher is Galatians chapter 5. It says, the renowned Puritan preacher John Owen, who lived between 1660 and 1683, wrote prolifically on the person and work of the Holy Spirit in his discourse on the Holy Spirit, written in 1674. There occurs a remarkable passage in 1674 in which he states, the sin of despising the person of the Holy Spirit and rejecting his work now in 1674 is the same nature with idolatry of old. And with the Jews' rejection of the person of the Son, in plain terms, John Owen tells us that if the sin of the Old Testament times were the rejection of God the Father, and the sin of the New Testament times was the rejection of God the Son, then the sin of our times is the rejection of God the Holy Spirit. This message is both profound and poignant, especially as we think of our contemporary religious scene. Someone might say, this is in the 1600s. It sounds very familiar in the 1900s. Someone might say, how can we talk about the rejection of the Holy Spirit when his person worked, especially his gifts? Now this is Stephen Alford talking about this. Are the buzzwords in both Protestant and Catholic circles of discussion and debate? There is no simple answer to that question. But there is a serious one. With all the talk about the Holy Spirit, there is a rejection of Him in two respects, in both our sins. There is the sin of escapism. Some preachers won't even mention the Holy Spirit for fear of being labeled. For this reason, their pulpits are silent on the subject. At the other end of the spectrum is the sin of extremism. Julian Alford is a great preacher. The sin of escapism, the sin of extremism. The shallow ministry, the subtle manipulations and senseless manifestations that are so prevalent today do not square with the Word of God, or indeed the glory of God. Both these sins, escapism and extremism, are in fact a rejection of the Holy Spirit and all the glory of His person, works and gifts. What we need is biblical balance. End quote by Stephen Alford. I got saved or got into salvation experience in 1967. And very soon I was introduced to Pentecostal Christians. Very soon, Pentecostalism became known as Neo-Pentecostalism. And the charismatic movement came in as a flood in the Pune city. And the person who prayed with me in Bombay in 1967, January the 8th evening, at Robinson Church in Baikala, he wrote a letter to the people here, Graham Truscott and others, try to follow me up. But I struggled with my salvation experience, and one big struggle that I had was, am I really saved? And I think young people struggle with that, don't they? And most of us oldies have struggled with the assurance of salvation. Am I really saved? And the struggle about, am I really saved, in my life was because of the struggle with my sinfulness. And some of us who have got into our 30s and 40s have forgotten how teenagers struggle with their sinfulness. And it may not be the kind of sinfulness we think about in our 30s and 40s. It might be very simple struggles with sin. All kinds of sins. And because we've grown older, and the years have gone by, we have forgotten some of those very real struggles of of young people, and therefore we can't really help them. God have mercy on our young people. I quoted from a young person of Jesus. And so I struggled with this issue. And the charismatic movement and the things of the Holy Spirit attracted me very much, because one thing that I began to hear, and I don't want to blame the whole charismatic movement for this, and possibly it was my fault as much as theirs, was that if I had an experience of the Holy Spirit, my sin problem would be over. And you know something? I did have an experience. I did. I had an ecstatic, over 1 hour emotional experience, where I cried and I laughed, and I was overpowered with a tremendous experience. It didn't make me holy. And what I want to say is, experiences don't make you holy. Just as much as a lot of Bible knowledge don't make you holy. Nothing makes you holy. And over the years, from 67 to now, I know there's only one thing that makes me holy. Besides God himself, doing a miracle of his grace and working holiness into my life. And that one thing, sorry to disappoint you, is obedience. Now we can all go. I have no secret for holiness. You might say, well, your testimony is not authentic. Thank you. But I believe there is nothing that can make you holy. No experience, no knowledge of scripture, no nothing except sheer obedience to the word of God. Makes it possible for you to obey his word. And to make that possible, you know what God does? God helps you to have the word of God. I mean, we take it for granted. That young person whom I quoted said, we take our Christianity for granted. We take the Bible for granted, don't we? God gave us the Bible first of all, right? Do you have a Bible? God made it possible for you to get a Bible free. Many of you got it free. Many of you got it for as less as 100 rupees or less. And you got it in your language, in a language you can understand. And if you're reading English Bibles, you got it in different translations. God gave you the Bible. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Bible. One of the things we will learn as we go through the scriptures in the series on the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is given to be our teacher. When he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he shall lead you to all truth. He will teach you, says John's Gospel. So the Holy Spirit is given to us to be our teacher. God gave us the Bible. God gave us the Bible in easy translations in our own languages. God gave us the Holy Spirit. God gave us teachers to teach us. God gave us lessons and materials. And goodness knows what. He got so much to help you know the scriptures. And then God gives us the grace to obey. You think it's hard to obey? Sure is. Actually, it's impossible, right, for the natural man not only to understand but also to obey the things of the Spirit of God. But God gives you the ability to obey. For he both wills and helps you to do what he wills for his good pleasure, says the book of Philippians. So that's what I want to start with. One of the things that led me to this discovered the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a very personal way was the ministry of Dr. Hans Bürki. And I am very, very obligated to him. I don't fully go along with him, with all that he has to say. Because as you've met him, I mean, some of the things you disagree with him for, I love him for, okay, because he really likes to disturb people. He can really kill you inside. And he has deeply got me all broken up many times, several times. Then he just stands and stares, you know. How are you, Chris? Great guy. See, you don't have to accept everything from every man of God, but you can get some good things, you know. But one of the things that he did in 1974 is, he's quite a stubborn, bold man of God. He came to Kodagiri for 15 days. And he told all the authorities of the Union of Evangelical Students of India that he's not going to listen to them. And he threw away their timetable. Okay, threw away their timetable, threw away their subjects. And he said, every morning and evening when I have to take a session, I'll just sit there. So he used to sit there and he used to stare at us, young people. Said, I'm going to speak about the grace of God. For 15 days he spoke about the grace of God. And one of the verses that he shared, and I want to share with you, is Romans chapter 8, verse 16, 15 and 16. Tremendous, tremendous truth from God's word. And he said, speaking from Romans chapter, others, you know, about being led by the Spirit and all that will be separate messages in the series. But in verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage. Notice that? You didn't receive a spirit of bondage. This is not talking about the Holy Spirit. Spirit there is an attitude or just something of bondage. Again to fear. When you came to Christ, you didn't come into bondage to fear. And he helped us ponder on this. What does it mean to be in fear? We all have fears. In bondage of fears. You know, one of the basic fears we have is what will people say? And that's an Indian problem. Log kya kahenge? Females are, in India, put into tremendous bondage about log kya kahenge. What will people say? Is somebody saying something? What will my mother think of me? Stephen recently wrote saying, I'm going to do what I want to do when my studies are concerned. I thought, good for you, Stephen. You're no longer afraid of wanting to do something somebody else wants you to do in your studies. You do what you want to do and do it well, right? You're free. Isn't that wonderful? We have all kinds of fears, some illogical fears, some real fears. But God has saved us not to put us into fear and bondage of fear. And in Christian circles, we can make this happen. In families, we can make it happen. Children make it happen to parents. Children put parents into a lot of fears. And parents live in the fear of their children so often. And children live in parents' fears. All kinds of fears. There's no fear in Christ except the fear of God, right? Which is holy reverence. But you have received, and here is the truth, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of adoption. Have I mentioned Ray Eicher and his adopted daughter? And how many sons does Vivek have? 2 sons. And I sat with him at his dining table. And Ray said, you know, we were talking about adopting kids. And how adopted children feel about being adopted when they realize they are adopted. Ray said nothing. I mean, actually adopted children are more special than natural born children. So he said, I told my adopted child, come here. He said, you know, you are more special than, in a sense, and in a real sense, than the children God gave me. Because the children God gave me, I had no choice, right? Whether they would be boys or girls, and what kind of character they would be. But when I and my wife adopted you, we went to a place of adoption, and we chose you. And we wanted you. We didn't have to have you. We were not an accident. We chose to have you. You're an adopted child. You're not ours. But we made you ours by paying a price to get you. So you're special. And that's what God says about everyone who is born again. You are an adopted child of God. God didn't have to have us, but He loved to have us. And He chose us before the foundation of the world that we might belong to Him. And so He's given us the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit makes us aware that we are adopted children of God. And by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of adoption, we are able to cry out. And this is a spontaneous calling out. You don't have to be taught to cry out this cry. Because you have been given a Spirit, the Spirit of adoption. And the spirit of bondage to fear has been removed. You spontaneously cry out. To whom? To God. God, the Almighty, Holy, Majestic, Glorious, Invisible, Inaccessible, who is full of glory, majesty, and power. Before Him the whole world trembles. You can call Him Papa, Father, Abba, Father. That's what this verse teaches. And you know what I did? As this was being taught for 15 days, I began to get on my knees, literally, at Kodagiri, and say, I want to spontaneously cry out, Abba, Father. I want to really know, once and for all, that I really belong to you, nobody else. I want this bondage of fear to be removed from me. I want to be free. I want to be a son. I want to be a child. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Witness. You know what His witness is? His witness is not about Jesus here in this verse. His witness to me, to my inside being. The Holy Spirit starts telling me and convincing me and continuously doing it. You notice it in verse 16? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are in the present continuous tense, that we are children of God. I was given on 8th January 1967, the verse John 1:12. But to as many as received Him, to them He gave the power, the right, the authority to become children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Romans 8:16 gave me the witness of the Spirit that made John 1:12 very real, applied it to my soul. I began to know continuously, forever and ever, that I am a what? Child of God. And if children, notice verse 17, and if children, then heirs. You know what an heir is? You have everything that belongs to your father. And this father gives it all. Never holds it back. Then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Tremendous thought. You know who I am? By the Holy Spirit witnessing within my soul, making John 1:12 real to me, witnessing to that, convinces me I belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. I'm a child of God. God is my Papa. Abba, Father, is the most intimate term for a father. And if I'm a child of God, then the Holy Spirit helps me to behave like a child of God. If I'm an heir, if I'm a child, I'm an heir. If I'm an heir, I have what? Everything that belongs to God, right? You know what that takes away from me? All jealousies, all covetousness, all hankering after something more. I mean, what more does an heir want? When the father says, I give you all, what more? Farmhouses, mobile phones, Pentium 2, another ride to the USA, and another PhD, some more gold. I mean, what more do I want from God? He's given me everything. We sing that chorus, don't we? We have everything when we have Christ, complete in Him. Can you see the truth of these wonderful scriptures? If a child, then an heir of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we also suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. See, I got a memory verse. Tremendous memory verse. Ponder on it, meditate on it, and what happens? Men's prayer breakfast, we talked about it, right? What happens? You start understanding it more, you trust in it more, you don't make believe about it more, you know it's true. You don't have to make believe about it. It's true. And then what will happen? I don't need to hanker after anything. I'm free. Do you understand the meaning of no longer bondage to fear? I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail. Oh no, am I going to get through? Oh no, you know? Oh, my. Worry, 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 anxiety, tremendous pressures, fears, bondages. No. Alright. Have I said much this sermon? 10 minutes to go. I've decided I'm not going to say much in every sermon because we're going to learn truth about the Holy Spirit. I wrote this to one of my friends. He said, in my series, I want to deal with some biblical passages. I share with you what I'm going to do in this series on the Holy Spirit. And those biblical passages are John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those wonderful Holy Spirit filled chapters. The upper room discourses of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he spoke about another counselor of the same kind, whom he will send. I'll deal with other passages like Romans chapter 8 and then texts from the book of Thessalonians and other parts of scripture. I just want to teach truth as it is in the Bible and then teach obedience to the truth. My series is not going to be titled Why I Am Not a Charismatic, because I don't want to deal with those kind of issues. It may by the way, come along the way. But I'm not interested in refuting anything that is error. I want to teach the truth about the Holy Spirit. And I have notes on the Holy Spirit that I have made since 1970s, mid-1970s. There's about 20 years or more of notes on the Holy Spirit. One time, I remember sitting in St. Paul's Church Vestry. I used to be a pillar of St. Paul's Church, young pillar, you know. They didn't know I existed, but I was there. And I used to get the whole church building, premises, all the keys, everything. And I used to have fun at St. Paul's Church. That's why I love the Anglican Church. They give you a lot of freedom. So I had all the keys, and I put in all my books in St. Paul's Church, and I used to sit there in the vestry, pretending to be the pastor, you know, priest, parish priest, whatever, during the weekdays. And I took a notebook. This is what I did when I was 17, 18 years old. You know, young twerp, like to do all pranks. And I took these big books of the Bible, in concordances, and I said, I'm going to study various things. I studied all the prophecies about the first coming, studied all the prophecies about the second coming. But one thing I decided to do, because I was getting so confused about the Holy Spirit, I said, I'm going to study every verse on in the Bible on the Holy Spirit. And I did that again, this time. Now it takes about 2 hours to read through the whole thing, because you've got a computer and you've got a, you know, machine that logs on, brings in all the verses on the Holy Spirit on the screen. There's a few hundreds. Wonderful. I just reading those verses makes you get excited. Wow. This is what the Bible teaches you.